Arkansas. And as Hunter did, I would encourage all of the speakers to repeat the questions as they're asked. That's something I didn't bring up. That way it'll be recorded for anyone who goes back to listen to these presentations later.
Thank you, Dr. Glenn, for that introduction. Like you said, my name is Michael Houston, and I will be talking to you today about PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth and some of the effects that we've seen in some of the pre-emergent herbicide evaluations that we did earlier this year and in 2016. I tend to be a fast talker when I get in front of people. If I go too fast, please tell me at the end. I'll repeat anything that does need to be repeated. So a little bit of introduction here. This is where the problem started in Arkansas for us. It was 2016 where Salas and others did confirm PPO resistance in the state, eastern Arkansas for us. It started in 2011, though, is when the Palmer was actually emerged, but they just confirmed it in 2016. So we actually had 5 years of PPO resistance to be spread before they actually confirmed it. So one Palmer amaranth per meter or per 30 feet of row can cause up to 15% yield reduction, like Hunter said. It is a very important weed because of the damage that it can cause. It can cause significant damage in soybean and cotton crops, and that's why this is important, because 14 to 21 day window is what we suggest for the residual herbicide applications. Anything past that, as you will see later in my results, can provide significant damage of that cotton crop. There are some reduced efficacy to other herbicides for PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth, as Swartz and others have found in 2017. And again, you will see that later on in my results. So the reason I put this slide up here is just to show you or get a visual representation of those first 7 growing stages where we see Palmer amaranth can emerge throughout those whole stages. It's important to suppress the Palmer amaranth throughout all these stages, and with the amount of applications that we make per year of residual herbicides, we might have to consider another application just to control the PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth. So when we talk about resistance for Palmer amaranth, we've perpetuated it through 3 modes of action so far in our cotton crops. First, starting with EPSPS or glyphosate resistance. When we move to ALS, we've also perpetuated resistance in Palmer amaranth. And then finally, just recently, PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth. And this is kind of scary because we don't know where to go from here. We see this question mark at the end of the tunnel, and we say we could have any mode of action that could be resistant here. We just don't know where to go, and we have to be careful because we don't want to have another mode of action fall to Palmer amaranth. And we see where transgenic crops have significantly reduced the diversity of these weed control programs in North America, and specifically that region where Hunter showed a PPO resistance. And so as Norsworthy and others found in 2012, the prevention of herbicide resistance does require diverse approaches, and namely that is multiple modes of action. And that is the important thing in this research, is that multiple modes of action can provide better control, and it keeps us from falling into the resistant trap that we've seen to be in the past couple of years. So this is some research we did at the University of Arkansas. This is a session screen that we did for the populations across the state, just to kind of get an idea of where our PPO resistance was and how bad it actually is. As you can see, we do have some populations here are pretty heavily resistant. It seems to control maybe 1 or 2 of those plants in the 50-cell trays, but we do have some that completely control. So it is inconsistent right now. Just because your county is colored in does not mean that is completely resistant. Doesn't mean that county is going to see every field in there is going to have PPO resistant completely. So it's kind of inconsistent right now, but we still urge growers to keep that in mind when they do make the herbicide applications. So far, 7 states have confirmed PPO resistance with at least 1 county, and resistant populations are expected to heavily increase, especially in those counties that are already confirmed. So this brought us to a question. Is there still value to PPO inhibitors in cotton? And it brought us directly to this hypothesis right here that pre-emergent herbicide applications of fumesmin, a PPO inhibitor, will have lower control of PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth compared to the other mode of actions. So our objective was just to evaluate the efficacy of these herbicides for their residual control. We thought that was important. That was what we wanted to look at, and that's kind of what set up this trial. So we had it in Marion and Crawfordsville, Arkansas in both 2016 and 17. Plot size was 6.3 feet by 30 feet, and they were non-crop plots because we wanted to evaluate multiple herbicides here, not just cotton, but also soybean and corn, and it was important to get a wide variety of herbicides to see the efficacy of those. It catered to a large variety, like I just said. And Marion and Crawfordsville both had standard cotton production ground with silt to silt loam soils. So the valuations that we did were 21, 28, and 35 days after the planting or application, because we really wanted to see what was that worst case scenario. At 21 days, you're really at the end of that window when you want to make another application. And at 28 and 35 days, if you miss an application, we wanted to see what would happen to see the level of control that you would still have. It was a randomized complete block design with four replications, and we analyzed the data using Jump Pro 12.1, and the means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD at an alpha level of 0.05. So the treatment list was as follows: Reflex at 16 ounces, Dual at 1 1/3, Warn at 3 pints, Zidu at 2.5 ounces, Diuron at 24 fluid ounces, Prowl at 3 pints, and Clarity at 1 pint per acre, and the untreated check to compare back for our visual control. I'd like to make the point that this is our only PPO inhibitor in this list, and just to clarify that so we can all see it in the data graphs and the level of control. And all treatments, because these are products, only utilize one mode of action. So that brings us into some of the results we saw. I'd like to make 2 points about this graph, but before we do that, I'll set this up. This is Palmer amaranth control at 21 days. And on the left, you can see that we have percent control, and on the bottom, we do have our products. A lot of the graphs, actually the rest of my graphs, data graphs, will look like this. They will have control on the left-hand side. The products will be the same on the bottom, and you will see the control levels there. So 2 points I'd like to make about this is that none of these treatments provided the target level control we wanted to see from these. At 85% was the mark we set there. We thought that was a fair level of control percent, and we didn't see it from any of these mode of acts or any of these products. The second point I'd like to make is that Reflex there at 70%, the numerical difference between that and our highest level controlled Zidua was fairly significant. So when we move into 28 days after pre, 7 days later, we see that Reflex has fallen almost 20%. As you can see there, it's almost 70, fallen to 50% control. It doesn't significantly separate itself from Prowl, but it is numerically different from all those treatments by a good 10%. And Zidua is still up around 80%, providing the best level of control we've seen. And so a couple of pictures I'd like to show you here. We're going to move through the 28 days after pre pictures. You can see on the untreated check here, we do have a very dense, heavy population of Palmer amaranth here. And we can see where we sprayed Reflex on the right, we've confirmed our PPO resistance. You can see where it's provided about 50% control. And the height of those Palmer amaranth, they're about the same in the untreated control, meaning they never provided effective control at any point at time. When we move to Clarity and Zidua, you can see where Clarity does have some pretty big size Palmer amaranth there on the left side. It provided around 60% control there, 50% control. Again, it's not very good effective control at 28 days, but Zidua, you can even see escapes in that. And that's our best control measure, Zidua, at 28 days. And even then, it's around 70 to 80%, and you can see pretty big escapes in those plots. Moving on to Prowl and Dual Magnum. Prowl didn't do a very good job at all of controlling Palmer amaranth, obviously, in these plots. It's about on par with Reflex at this point. But Dual Magnum did provide better control, still a little bit worse than Zidua, but again, those are some pretty big Palmer amaranth in those plots at 28 days. So 35 days, our last rating here, we see where Reflex has fallen at 30% control. Our PPO inhibitor is almost completely ineffective at this point. If we've missed an application at 35 days, we're just done with Reflex. I mean, there's no way to recover those plots at this point. Zidua is at above 60%, but still, that's far below what we wanted to see. I pointed out the PPO inhibitor just so you can see the numerical difference between that and the rest of the treatments. It's a pretty big difference. And then there's our target line of control we wanted to see. That's almost a 50% difference from what we wanted to see out of Reflex or any of these treatments, really. We wanted to see something close to that. So in summary, we reject our hypothesis that fomestifin had lower control compared to the other modes of action. Realistically, it wasn't different, really, from Clarity or Prowl. And that 14 days overlapping residual is necessary. It's critical. Because if you make that 21-day application, you can lose a lot of control really quickly of those residuals, and your Palmer amaranth populations could be heavy. So single mode of actions are not effective. You need to overlap residuals. That's critical. And we see a sharp decline in control at 28 days. So that brings us to some practical implications of this research. Is Diuron still effective? It provides another mode of action for Palmer amaranth. I'll give it that. But even then, none of these herbicides are really effective past 28 days or past 21 days. So, again, it's another mode of action we can use to fight PPO resistance, but we need to reevaluate some of these herbicides. And as we've seen in the past, proactive weed control is much less expensive than trying to just fix the problem after the resistant weed species have developed. Overlapping residuals is critical. Again, I say that just for repetitive purposes. I mean, we really need to overlap our residuals. And multiple mode of actions are good against resistant prone weed species, as Norsworthy and others have found. This is some future research we're doing at the University of Arkansas. This is just some assessments across the state that we're trying to evaluate right now. Again, the more we know about the PPO-resistant populations and where they are, the better we can help fight this. The more we know, always information is better. So with that, I'll acknowledge my doctors Tom Barber and Jason Norsworthy and my weed science colleagues who are here today, and the Roar and Mariana Cruz who helped me with some of this research. With that, I'll take any questions. So the question was if we have an entire population of PPO-resistant palm rams compared to some segregation. So in Crawfordsville, we did have some segregation, and Marion both. I mean, we see that with the reflex plots. Obviously, if reflex had controlled 0%, then we'd say that maybe that was, you know, an entirely resistant population. But we'd still see some segregation there, obviously, especially in the counties outside of Crawfordsville and Marion. So, yeah, to answer your question, we did have some segregation there. So the question was, how did we maintain the population throughout the treatments? Is that the question?
How did you make sure that your composition of palm amaranth was the same from one treatment to another?
So the question was, is how did we maintain the populations throughout each treatment? We had enough replications and enough site years to try to evaluate the treatments based on the population we had. We did have a very dense population in Marion and Crawfordsville, so we felt like we had a good population across all treatments both years. The question was, is our environmental changes or conditions, if they would have changed? And I'm assuming you're addressing the rainfall, really, with the residual. So we had the same rainfall both years in both locations because they are so close to each other, Crawfordsville and Marion. And so we had a standard rainfall there at the beginning, really right when we planted to activate those sprees. We didn't see any differences, but if we did have a heavier or lighter rainfall, we would change the results some based on the herbicide that we applied. Do you think I could improve the control with a two mode of actions for my? Yes, it'd be very effective. As Hunter showed in his first in the first presentation today, when you utilize two modes of action or more than two modes of action, you see an increased control with palm amaranth, PPO resistant palm amaranth, especially. Some of the soybean work I've done, you see that where premixes they do have increased control versus one mode of action.